Food Farm Talk on CFRU 93.3 FM. Welcome to another edition of Food Farm Talk, where we celebrate food and honor those who champion the cause of food in society. Hello, listeners. Welcome to another edition of Food Farm Talk on CFRU 93.3 FM. I am your regular host, Abdulrahim Abdullahi, and as usual, I always bring you very interesting people who are here to share stories that will impact the community. And today, I have with me one of my friends who has been so passionate about food. And you know, the show is always about food. So, welcome to Food Farm Talk.
Thanks for having me. Absolutely. It's an honor. It's an honor to be on here. So, my name is Arvinder. I'm in my final year here at the University of Guelph. I'm going to be going to my master's in the coming year. Finally done exams, so I'm excited to, you know, just get into summer, get into those activities and some new projects. And yeah, that's who I am. I'm really involved here on campus and off campus, and I'm excited to do this. Thanks for having me. Yeah, okay. Honestly, and I really love the intro with the goats and everything. Great introduction. Thank with the music and everything. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Like we always do, it's going to be like just a normal conversation,
yeah,
but which is very helpful and impactful to the community and as a learning process for everyone who listens.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Initially, when I sent you an email asking for you to come on the show, like I would say I've been chasing you for some time now, but when I read your email signature,
yeah.
I see a lot of things that kind of fascinate me in terms of what you do on campus. And it's like so many things that has to do with food, World Food Program, university students fighting against hunger, like internal communications and marketing. You have some kind of peer helping with the Area Food Institute, the Feeding 9 Billion Group.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
There's just so many things that has to do with like food. So before I even ask you why you are interested in this,
yeah,
I want you to tell me a little bit about what you do in school.
What I do in school. All right. So, like I said, I'm in international development with an emphasis in political administration and economic change. So, it's my fifth year here. I wasn't really passionate or interested in food security when I first came into this program. I actually stumbled upon this this weird concept called food security in my second year. I'll get into that a bit later on, but so far right now, final year, I'm involved with Universities Fighting World Hunger. I am the Vice President of Academics and Outreach. So what I do for the organization, the club on campus, is that I prepare biweekly lectures about food security-related topics. We just had a topic on bees and the importance of bees. We also had a discussion on Canada's food guide, which I've been fortunate enough to conduct research on it and look at its equitability. And that was a semester-long project with Steffi Hammond. She's a professor here for the IDS department. What else? I'm also a peer helper for the Feeding 9 Billion program, which Abdul is also a part of, and he's kind of been working alongside with Evan Fraser. As a peer helper, we have a lot of roles. We wear a lot of hats on and off campus. We try and disseminate information that's equitable. We teach people about food security, agriculture. It's just very interdisciplinary. What else do I do? Oh, I also work for, not really work, but I guess I would say I work. I work for Food Day Canada. It was created by Anita Stewart. And what it tries to do is it brings restaurants from all over Canada onto one platform, and it helps them share the initiatives that they have going on in regards to sustainability, about some of their projects and on food waste and how to prevent that. And it's all about just eating local, shoring off what Canada has in regards to food. Check them out on Food Day Canada, Feeding 9 Billion program. You can search them up on Instagram as well, and you can search us up on Facebook for Universities Fighting World Hunger. If you're ever in need of, you know, just advice or or some information about food security, go ahead and reach out. It might be me, it might not be me reaching out to you, reaching back out to you.
It might definitely be you, because like I mentioned earlier, I see you so many like food initiatives like on campus and stuff, and like that's really impressive to see like one student being all over the place, and that means that you are actually passionate about food.
And absolutely, yes.
I do know that I like issues with about food and like agriculture and stuff. And to me, as an individual, it comes from my background, like growing up in a very like agricultural background with my father being a farmer as well.
Absolutely.
So mostly when people ask me, that is my motivation.
Yeah.
I just want to understand, how did you get into what actually motivated you into like food?
Oh, all right. Okay, let's get into this. Second year, I met this professor named Lauren Snade. She had this amazing class. She taught food and international development. She just started teaching us about the complexities of food security. She started teaching us about food sovereignty. And I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the class, the course. And it really just started getting me thinking about this problem that we have at hand, this brewing storm, the underlying storm. And that's what I kind of started getting me thinking about this. And then what had happened end of second year, I met a professor named Dr. Perez. She was facilitating a field school to Dharamshala, India. And it was all about experiential learning. So we went out, we traveled to India. I interned with Students for a Free Tibet, and I started to, that was when I conducted interviews with some Tibetan refugees, and they started talking to me about their hardships that they were facing when they were migrating from China to India. They started talking to me about food security, and I was like, whoa. You're talking to me about food security? It's just like a concept that I learned in class.
Yes.
So then I started delving into that.
You realize it has so many connections in
exactly,
their actual
yeah,
life.
Absolutely. So I started seeing, you know, just seeing the little things in like the community that we were in. It's like, there's people here that don't have enough food. So what's going on? Where are they getting their food from? And that was just like one of the first like sites that I that really impacted me. But then moving on, the second part of the field school ended, right? Field school ended, and then what I'd done is I'd traveled back to my grandparents' farm. So like you said, farming is in your past, but and so it's part of your past, and you're connected to it. But it's also a part of my roots as well. My grandparents, my parents. All come from a long line of farmers back in India, both subsistence farming and cash crops as well. Mm-hmm. And I went there, and it was all fun, right? You know, you're coming in from coming from Canada. You're very privileged in a sense. You are very privileged coming into going back home. And we would be riding around our jeeps. And one day, our little farm got hit by a massive dust storm. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? There's a tornado out there. I don't know what's going on. The windows are moving. I'm like, oh Lord, this is it. oh my God, I was so scared. So as soon as the dust storm had passed, we went back out. My uncle, my grandpa told me, we need to go back out. We need to check on our crops. We need to check on our fields. We need to check up on our community, right?
Yep.
And once we did that, we found out that due to the dust storms, the government had opened up their dams for water, right? Mm-hmm. So then that flooded the fields down below. So what we started seeing is just water. We just started seeing water everywhere, water pouring into farms, and we had to jump out of our cars. We had to start taking sandbags, started to prevent water and going into these farms, right? That this is people's livelihoods that we're talking about, right? And I'm just looking at the community coming together, working together, and I just see the farmer. I see the farmer. He's taking his turban off, and he's just sitting there on the ground. He's like, wow, this is it.
This is my life.
Right? This is his life. Like, and he's just crying. Yeah. Right, and then everyone else is like, it's gonna be all right, right? And I was like, these people are so resilient, they just keep coming back trying to help out. And I'm just like, how long is this gonna go on for, right? How long can you adapt to these to climate change, right? Climate variability, right? And that's when I started to look more into climate change, climate variability, and linking that with food security as well, right? Yeah. We're helping them out. They're giving them money. They're like, it's going to be all right. We got you, right? I left. I didn't know what happened afterwards, right? That's what happens, right? You just come in for a little bit. You get to get a little sneak peek of what's going on outside of your own little community in Canada, right? And I come back and I'm like, whoa, what just happened, right? Reverse culture shock. Right. And I come back and I'm like, whoa, I'm so grateful to be here. And I start to, you know, learn more about what was going on here. Not just like, you know, in Guelph, but just in Canada as a whole, right? And then I started looking into food security in Canada. 1 out of 8 households are food insecure in Canada.
That's a staggering statistic. Like, exactly. When I hear it, I said, wow. Like, we actually not a thing. We are actually privileged to be here.
That's
as
it,
well.
Yeah.
But there are people even within our communities that are like not getting things.
Exactly.
In terms of
food. That's the thing. And we're so called, we're one of the G7. We're a developed nation, but there's such high food insecurity rates. We're 4 million people are food insecure, and right now the total population of Canada is 37 million. That's a really large number, and I think Canada needs to step up on it, right? Mm-hmm. It needs to do a lot more work. And Olivier Duschutter, UN food rapporteur, I don't know how to say it, but he was a reporter for the UN and did a lot of food security work. He came in here in 2013, and he started talking about food security and talking about how marginalized communities don't have access, can't afford the food, right?
Yeah.
And he was just ousted. He was pushed away by the government. It's like, no, we don't want this. Let's keep this under wraps for a little bit. There's a lot going on. This is back in 2013, so it's not even that far. It's not that long ago.
Yeah.
So I come back from India, right? And I'm like, what can I do? Where should I go? Right? Who should I join? I need to make some sort of an impact. I have this international development background. They've been teaching us, you know, you got to view situations and problems with a holistic and multidisciplinary lens. But, you know, just so like there's a problem here, but yeah. I didn't know how to like attack it or approach it. And what I had found was this Peer Helper program, the Feeding 9 Billion program. Yeah. And that's when I started this so-called journey to help spread this information, teach people about food security. And that's one of the cool things that Feed 9 Billion has allowed me to do. Mm-hmm. They have a card game.
Yeah.
They have a comic book. Yeah, they have a lot of outreach stuff. And we're able to go to high schools and teach people about food security. And I just want to give another shout out to Maddie Arsenault. She's just helped.
Yeah.
Maddie Arsenault, Jay Chen, Laura Nersessian. They've all been part of the Feeding 9 Billion. There's a lot of people involved, but I worked with them. I'm currently working with them as well. They're really helping out, helping with, you know, just the dissemination of information. Maddie Arsenault has a program called YAC. I don't know if you heard of it. Have you heard of it?
Not really, yeah.
It was a program that she co-developed with an individual. I forget their name. It's called the Youth Action
Against climate change. I've seen a few things about it on Twitter, and because it's also related to like geography department.
Exactly.
Well,
that's it.
Maddie, yeah. Yeah, so I've seen a few things about that program as well. And they've been doing some great work on that. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just this program, this Feeding 9 Billion program is helping foster and it's helping foster community in a sense, and it's helping. It's bringing bright minds together and giving them the resources necessary to, you know, facilitate these kinds of programs like YAC, helping, you know, just letting people who have this ambition and these goals and who want to participate and make their communities more equitable, more food secure, and they're helping them do that. And that's what I like about the Feed 9 Billion program. That's why I joined it.
You have a long history about food, and I'm sure if we want to like
we can talk the whole day, but
we don't have the whole day. So what you do is, like, we are getting to the summer. You've had a very busy like winter as well, because I've been to a few programs where I've met you.
we've been on so many field trips. You went to the brewery trip as well, right?
I didn't go for that. I went to the earlier trip, like to
Chudley's, Burnbrae Farm.
So I just want you to highlight a little bit more on, like, what does your summer look like?
Summer's packed. I just finished my I'm done my BA. I'm so happy.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm done my BA. I have my flask with me right now. I'm kidding. It's a reusable water bottle. It's not a flask. a quick plug. Do not use single-use plastics, people. Use reusable water bottles, at work, campus. I'm sorry. I just talked way too much.
I think in my earlier, two episodes, Kira and Zoe talked about this.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Brilliant. just bring a water bottle with you, you know? Just why not? So summer is really packed right now. It's looking really busy. A lot of little projects. I have a hard time saying no to things because I have so much time and energy. I think I could load my plate up and I love just, you know, staying busy. So first project in 2-3 weeks, I'm actually going to the Yukon. Mm. So oof. That's been something. we've been planning that. That's another field school with Lauren Snade. It's called Yukon Field School on Food Security in Northern Canada. So we'll just be learning about northern food systems, the food insecurity and how it looks like there. We're going to be talking to a lot of stakeholders, whether that be First Nations communities, government, non-governmental organizations, chefs. Chefs have a really big part in all of this. It's going to be an intensive 2-week program. Hopefully they don't just hold our hand and make us do they follow a strict schedule. I've been working on my undergrad thesis on Canada's food guide, and I want to just talk about what's going on in that sense.
I'm going to ask you about that. Shortly.
Shortly. Okay.
Yeah,
perfect.
Because
that's
one of the things that actually caught my attention.
Okay.
I wanted to touch a little bit about on the Canada Food Guide.
I will. Okay. So in a bit. Yeah. So UConn, that's happening afterwards. I'm going to be working with the Aero Food Institute.
I've been working with Aero.
You work with Aero Food Institute as well. Exactly. So there's going to be a lot of projects involved with them. I'm also for Food Day Canada, I'm going to be making a lot of videos and connecting with chefs from around Canada, and I'm just going to talk about what they do, a day in the life of a restaurant, and take the audience through the step-by-step process of what a day looks like in one of these restaurants that are completely that try and procure their food locally with Canadian ingredients going on. I'm starting a podcast. I know. I have time, and I'm just I need to fill it up with something. So what I want to do is I want to talk to those viewers and try and tell them about what's going on in Canadian news, Canadian politics, and try and talk more about food, because food is a language, right? It connects and it binds
communities. Connects everybody.
Exactly. So I'm just all right, I can probably whip something up every Saturday or something, bring some of my friends, bring some of my aunties and uncles in and talk about food, talk about politics. That's another little project. When I'm in the Yukon and I'm also traveling to Alaska afterwards, I'm going to be shooting a lot of video, and I want to really understand what the food system looks like there, and I want to try and make those videos into, I want to make them accessible for everyone, try and let people know what's going on there, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We're always talking about, Ontario, we're always talking about BC, but what's going on in the Yukon, right?
Yeah.
Yukon right now is... In 2012, there was a statistic put out by Stats Canada, and they said that it's 17.2% food insecure, something around there.
I think it's more than 50% now, if I'm right, especially I'm on children.
Yeah, it's really high for children, exactly, yeah. That's just the statistic in 2012. Go on.
What I'll do is, I'll be very happy to have you back on this show, after you return from UConn, just to tell us your experience out there and issues you find out.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah, so... We are almost run out of time.
How much time do we have left? I'm so sorry. I just talk a lot.
So what we do is, I just want to remind listeners that you are still listening to Food Farm Talk on CFRU 93.3 FM with your regular host, Abdulrahim Abdullahi. And today I have my guest here, Avinda, who has been the champion of food on campus in so many ways.
Very kind of
you. So what we'll just do is, I will say we have about approximately 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
And I will want you to touch a bit on
your research. Okay.
So I've had people on this show talk about the Canada Food Guide.
Yes.
But I just want you to tell me what you have done on the food guide and what you have found about. And let me lump my questions together.
Mm-hmm.
How will the ordinary citizen, the layperson in Gulf here, benefit from what you have done?
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So Canada's Food Guide. It just came out 2019, January. It was a rework of the 2007 guide. It was foreseen that this is what's going to happen with the food guide. The food guide currently, it just tells you to eat more fruits and vegetables. And eat a lot more plant-based proteins, right? And a quarter of the plate should look like with grains and whatnot. But how is it going to affect or help the community? Is that
the community,
what you're saying?
Yeah, because people have had issues about inequality, like access to the foods that are being recommended and stuff like that.
Yeah. So what I was looking is the current research that was being done on the food guide and looking at its affordability and its equitability for people was for the average family of four, right? Mm-hmm. But we weren't talking about, you know, the people who don't have that, you know, who aren't the average family of four. So I started looking at the communities and the people who do not have access to food. So I started looking at people on social assistance, people on Ontario Works, and that's what I just wanted to, you know, give them a voice in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. So there was research put out by the University of Guelph and the University of Dalhousie saying that the food guide overall is 6.8% cheaper or much more affordable
yeah.
than the previous guide. Mm-hmm. So each year, a family of four will save around 6.8% of their income on the grocery bill. But these things, these savings might diminish. And this was, again, posted by the University of Guelph. They might diminish because of an increased demand on plant-based foods, and demand's going to start outstripping supply, right? And then Stats Canada, if you start looking at some of the statistics in the past few months, the price of produce has been steadily increasing. Mm. And once you look at Canada's food price report 2019, it's also expected that prices will continue to inflate. We weren't looking at, like I said, individuals on social assistance, and that's what I started doing. I started looking at people on Ontario Works, people in our communities that can't afford it. So right now there are around 454,000 beneficiaries of Ontario Works. So what I started doing, I started mapping out communities within Ontario, such as Ottawa, Toronto, Guelph. Those are just some of them to name out, name a few. And I started looking at their living wages. I started looking at their what a nutritious food basket would cost. I started looking at rent prices, and it was evident people couldn't meet their basic needs if they were to buy a nutritious food basket and pay rent. And at the end of the day, some of these communities, some of these individuals had a negative balance at the end of the month. Here's an example. One individual on Ontario Works in Ottawa receives around $810. Their rent is $836, and a nutritious food basket for them would cost around $244. So at the end of the month, they have negative $270, which is really huge. Yeah. So they aren't able to. And that's really important, right? You need to be able to. That was the whole point of the guide. It was trying to make sure it's. It's not, the guide was not created to, you know, it was created with science, nutritional science, and that was what was primarily on their plate at the time, right? What I wanted to do is I just wanted to talk about, you know, the people that are being left out, the people that are not being talked about, and that's what happened. And so then I started looking at what to do. What can we do to help these communities, yeah. right? Should we So what is our government currently doing? We actually allocated a budget of $130 million on a national food policy. It's a lot of money just $130 million. But if you start to look at the breakdown, there's not that much at all. Personally, that's what I'm going to say. And then we also had programs such as the Ontario Basic Income Pilot, which was set up by the Liberal government in April 2017. It was a new approach to reducing poverty. But the program came to a staggering halt when the Conservative government came into government, yeah. right? The new Conservative government came into. we talk. There's a new slogan for Ontario: a place to grow. You know, it's simple and appealing, but it's not. It's not the reality for a lot of individuals, especially for people in rural communities, right? Who aren't able to. There's a lot of food deserts, right? Who aren't able to access this food. And so, I started looking into, you know, what should we do now? Should we, you know, have should we have income-based programs for individuals individuals to, you know, become more food secure, or should we do more food donations, right? Yeah. The facts are simple. We need more income-based solutions. Some examples that I included with my research was that the universal childcare benefit, where children from where children ages 6 and under received around $100 allowance a month. Mm-hmm. It was reported that food insecurity, self-reported food insecurity was dropped by 25%. And there's also the pension plan, old age pension plan. That's also an income-based solution. Yeah. It helped senior citizens over the age of 65 drop their food insecurity levels by 50%. When you start funding those kinds of programs, you're going to see cuts somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's all about money, right? It's all about cuts. It's all about budgeting. And at the end of the day, you know, Canada's at a pivotal point. We can either, you know, invest in Canadians or allow thousands of Canadians to suffer the hardships associated with food insecurity. And I think right now, the new food guide has garnered the attention of millions in millions in the world, in Canada as well. And we should take this opportunity to let our leaders know that there are solutions present currently, and we need to start, you know, voicing our opinions and voicing our thoughts. Otherwise, you know, there may not be another opportunity like this to create an equitable system for all of us, right? Yeah.
I like your last message.
Yeah.
To let the leaders know that we might not have an opportunity.
Yeah, we've signed the UN Declaration of Human Rights, and Canada has an obligation to us to make sure that, you know, we are not dying from food insecurity. You know, and there's research put out that it's not, you don't even need research. Food insecurity does lead to death. Right, yeah. I'm being honest, yeah. And so Canada, 4 million people in total food insecure, but around the world it's 821. Right, we should try and, you know, be leaders in this. Right, we should, you know, set an example. We should, you know, go back into the shadows and, you know, take a stance from the back. And I think, you know, there's a lot of we can do something about it. Even though it's very complex, right? It's just there's solutions, right? You can innovate. You know, just it's gonna be hard. It's a hard, you know, hard. Long road ahead of us, but you know, we can't hand this planet down to future generations in complete chaos, right? We need to make sure that, you know, future generations have the same privileges that we've had, and we need to make sure that, you know, just, you know, we're all
okay.
That's it.
Thank you very much. I know that if we want to talk, we will continue to talk all over, but we don't have all the time. So I really appreciate your time.
Oh, no worries.
And the message is, we need to do something, and we need to look towards the future generation. So that's our take-home message. So today I've been talking with Avinda, who has shared a lot of experiences on what actually led him into Food Security Initiative and some of the research he has done on the Canada Food Guide. And overwhelmingly, his research shows that it is not really affordable to people on social assistance programs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I appreciate your time, and definitely we want to have you back here at another point in time later. So thank you very much for listening to another edition of Food Farm Talk with your regular host, Abdulrahim Abdullah.